Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. To Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine. Practicing the law of attraction has been proven to be a great way to change life for the better. But many psychic empaths and other spiritual workers have a very hard time getting their intentions to manifest. And today we have with us expert Rhonda Harris-Chowdhury, and she is going to tell us how we can work with these things, how to identify if we actually have psychic gifts, how to utilize them, customize them, and how to retrain our subconscious so that it works for us and not against us. I'm looking for Rhonda's bio. Let me see. Okay, Rhonda has had years of experience as a radio show and now YouTube live show host. And so she's going to be very, very interesting to talk to. So I'm going to bring her on and we're going to get started. Good morning, Rhonda. How are you?
Good morning. I am awesome. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. So Rhonda, what is it that makes it so hard for us to manifest these things that we want?
Well, there's a lot of different variables, but just to kind of condense it down, there are several things that we have to be aware of. One of them is our subconscious behaviorisms, which is the life script that we created or was created for us as children. So, for example, if you were raised in a home with loving family, loving members, then you will probably seek out a loving, kind relationship. But if you were raised in a home of anger and abuse or narcissist, and many empaths are raised by or heavily influenced by narcissistic people, then you will probably seek out that kind of a relationship. It's just a subconscious way of keeping what is normal, because that is what your idea of love is. The other things that we have going for us are conflicts within our own souls and what we're thinking. And that a lot of that is induced by what we see and hear on television every single day, that you're not pretty enough, your hair's too gray, you're too fat. All these things that are coming at us that can cause a subconscious guilt within us, or feeling badly about ourselves because we're not a size 1 model with long, gorgeous hair and long, luxurious eyelashes. And the other thing that I think has a huge impact on us that a lot of people don't think about is many of us get up in the morning and the first thing we do is we listen to the news. So we are already programming our subconscious for the day to focus on the negative, because that's what the news does. And that focus on the negative bleeds through in the rest of our lives. And then we start off with the negative self-talk. We look at the negative things in life instead of noticing all the wonderful blessings to be grateful for. So these are just a few things that are in our conscious and in our energy, so that when we try to do our positive affirmations to change our lives, there's that conflict going on. Our voices and our mind are saying, yes, prosperity is mine, abundance is mine, love is mine. But then our subconscious is saying, no, it's not. We don't have anything. We've never had a great life. We've never had this. We've never had that. And that conflict can really ruin your chances of getting the law of attraction to work.
Great answer. I'm doing this a little bit backwards, but can you tell us about who you are and what you do, what your gifts are, and where all this started?
Yes, absolutely. I was born, I guess everyone is born psychic, so I'm not going to say like, oh, I was born psychic, nobody else was. Everyone is. We are all born psychic. A lot of us, however, are then taught to focus more on the mental, and that intuition that we're born with goes away, but mine never did. And it started off with dreams. My mother was very sick, and I would have dreams about her and dreams that would come true. And then as I got older, you know, back in the olden days, I hate to date myself, but we didn't have the internet and all these great things that you guys had. We had a library, and if you were lucky, there was like a book on one book on psychics or anything like that. And so I actually started asking for divine guidance on what to do with my gifts and took Reiki classes and things like that. But I always still had, my parents were devout Baptists. And so I also had that conflict within me, because I was taught that being psychic was wrong. And it wasn't until I reached my early 20s that I finally went ahead and embraced my gifts and decided that I wanted to help people and teach people and empower people, especially the little empaths that are growing up, because it's very difficult as a child being an empath, taking on everyone's emotions. In school, it was a nightmare. I literally counted the years down before I could graduate. I'm not kidding. It's like, I cannot wait to graduate so I don't have to be around so many people all the time. But anyway, fast forward to the future and the present. For most of my life, I was a mortgage underwriter, and then the industry died, and literally I couldn't find a job. So I decided to utilize the gifts that I had, and that's how I started doing this. And I love working with empaths, and it's important to me to empower people. I'm a goddess high priestess. I perpetuate the divine feminine and try to help women experience that divine feminine within them, which comes with all kinds of psychic gifts and healing gifts and being able to manifest what you want by tapping into your power. And I also help people to identify their gifts. I teach Reiki. It's mainly about empowering people. That's what I'm really about, is helping people to realize you are not helpless, you are not broken, and that you can change your life.
That's very interesting. You know, it's there's so many people that are born with the sensitivities that you are and don't lose them and really feel very odd about it. And we just never know where people are going to present themselves. But I was in New York and over the weekend, and my husband and I took an Uber. And the guy just started talking about, we were talking about homeless people, and he was saying how he gives to all these people, regardless of what he thinks the outcome's going to be, because he gives because this is a good thing to do for the universe. And as we got to talk, he revealed to me very, very carefully and untrustingly that he has all these gifts, you know, psychic abilities and things like that, but he has grown up in a neighborhood where people just poo-poo it. And So I gave him a lot of information, and anyway, you know, hopefully he will start to be able to get some education. But there are many people out there that have these things and cannot really talk about them, and they feel people treat them as if they're really weird when they do. Do you find that to be true?
Yes. People will, when they don't understand something, it will actually frighten them, or they'll run away from it. Or you also have to understand people are born with different spiritualities, and a lot of those spiritualities do poo-poo those kinds of things. But what everyone really has to understand, and I always use this because I've had so many people who are Christian that, you know, in the Christian religion, spirituality, they pretty much frown on it, or at least that's what the ministers say, that they frown on it, that you're not supposed to do this, it's wrong or whatever. However, I always like to say that I follow what Christ said. I have no interest in what the apostles said. They were men with opinions. Christ said, "You will go on to do greater things than me." And if we examine what Christ did, he was one heck of a magician. He turned water to wine. He fed the multitude with one fist. He was a psychic / prophet. They called it prophets then, but to me, a prophet is a psychic. Same thing to me. And he was a healer. You just had to touch his robe in order to be healed. You just had to look at you. So if you think of all the things that he did as a magician, as a psychic, as a healer, and said, "You will go on to do greater things than me," that to me is permission from the head guy himself to get out there, use their abilities to help and to heal the earth and the world and the people in it.
Well said. Well said. Yeah, because, you know, this Uber driver was struggling with that, you know, with his Christian background and having a 6-year-old son and what to do and which direction to go in. Rhonda, we have a caller that has a question for you. Her name is Amla, and
hi. Okay,
here she is. Good morning, Amla. How are you?
Good morning. Good, good.
What is your question for Rhonda?
Rhonda, I was wondering, I feel like I'm going through a lot of changes. It's always, I always believe in universe provides for you. It's always that way. It's never, it's not what you always think it is. There's always a bigger picture. So I really feel like I'm on the cusp of a huge beginning, and I'm looking for a complementary relationship, not somebody who fills me up because I feel full. But I was just wondering, do you feel or sense anything coming in for me, anybody coming in for me?
Okay, actually what I'm picking up from you is kind of nervousness and excitement about somebody coming in. It's the nervousness or maybe questioning, like, am I going to know if this is the right person that's going to come in?
Yeah.
That is probably that second guessing, that questioning in yourself can actually hinder that person from coming in, because the person could walk right past you and you're like, I don't know, is that the guy? Maybe that's not the person. I don't know. And then you can kind of second guess yourself out of it. The thing to do is, because you already embrace the universe is going to provide, by just tapping into your own intuition, because you're pretty psychic yourself. I can feel it. And I can feel that you're very fast. So you can read that person before they come, and you won't have to bring in the mind and second guessing. If you feel that energy with that person, you're going to know it's that person. The thing that you want to be careful of, though, because you are empathic, is you can feel drawn to somebody, and it might not be an actual romantic encounter. It could be the universe saying, this is a spiritual assignment. I need you to go help that person. And you can confuse that with, oh, I feel so drawn, this must be someone I'm supposed to be with. So if you feel that connection, you want to take the next step and make sure that it's an actual relationship of give and take. You're not going to be the only one giving and fixing the person. They're going to compliment you and do the same for you. If you've got that exchange of energy, then you're good to go. Roll with it.
That totally makes sense, because I've always been the giver as the empath. And I'm finally is the word. I hate to say it that way, but I'm taking care of me and nurturing myself. And that's so important in order to heal other people as well and help others. You need to fill up. And that just verifies and confirms for me that, you know, I'm on the right path. And it's true. I need to learn how to receive more from other people. And I like what you just said about it. It is an exchange, and to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. One of the things I love to teach empaths is the art of receiving, that we are worthy of the same things that we give to others. We are worthy of that, too. And so we have to be open to it. You know, we're not just – otherwise, we end up making so many withdrawals that we end up bankrupt, and we need some deposits going in there. And so we have to look at the people that can make those deposits.
Yeah. It's so true. And listening to your intuition is key, of course, you know. And there's so many times where I want to go somewhere, and then my intuition's like, no. And part of me wants to go logically, but I don't. I don't go because I know. I just know. You do what feels right for you, and I'm listening to that voice in me, which is important.
Right.
So I appreciate that.
Right. That's perfect, Amla. Well, good luck with that because everyone is looking for love and looking for the right person, but I really do love that, you know, that what Rhonda said about the exchange. It is so very important and such a hard thing for us empaths to achieve. So thank you. It's great that you are very aware of that, and that's going to help you so much in the future. So thanks for calling. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, when I talk to people, because I deal with a lot of people, as you do, who have had trauma in their lives, and I eventually get to the place where I can explain to them what the gift of the pain is, what the gift of the trials and tribulations and the lessons is after all this. Sometimes it's very hard to receive that information. But how do we understand that what has happened to us has brought us to this place and helped us to become better people? How do we get to that place?
Okay, the first thing that I try to help people do is I get them out of that emotional energy that they're wrapped up in, because that's what blocks them from seeing the lesson. So if they're coming to you and they're brokenhearted because of a lot of failed relationships, or they just never had any money in life, or they didn't have this or they didn't have that, and they're wrapped up in that vortex of adverse energies, the first thing I do is I pull them out of that. If we get the emotions out of the way, then we can just mentally review the lessons. And the way I pull them out of it is after they have finished telling me, well, you know, I've been through this and I've been through that and I've been sick and I've been poor and I've been lonely and all these things. And I say, well, dang, you're a badass. You have been through all of this and here you sit before me strong. You're still standing. You're still functioning. You're still at least relatively sane. I can't believe how strong you are. I just can't believe it. I get them to focus on what their strengths are and to recognize how strong that they made it through. And then I say, you know what? All of these things that you've been through, let me know that the universe holds you in very high esteem. Because if you think about it, when we come into this world and we go to nursery school and kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and beyond, as we pass each grade, those levels get harder and harder. They don't get easier. Each grade that you go up gets harder and more challenging. So the fact that you have been through all of this lets me know that you have reached a certain level in your spirituality that the universe says, wow, look how strong she is. Let's raise her up or raise him up, elevate them to the next level. So instead of looking at this as a trial, let's look at this as a challenge, because you've overcome so much already, you'll be able to stand on your head with your arms tied behind your back and get through this.
Right.
And once I pulled
it
into
that's such
that,
a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Them a lot.
Yeah. So you talked about, you know, how you kind of get rid of the emotions that are called sort of blocking these energies. How do we remove the debris from the energy, the toxic energy that has happened to us from traumas? Can we do this on our own?
Yes, absolutely. You can do it on your own. The first thing you want to do is you want to remove the emotional debris, the emotions from it. So what you do with that is first you acknowledge, you know, a lot of us in the spiritual world, we want everything to be rainbows and unicorns and cotton candy, but it's not that way. And we have to actually acknowledge what we are going through. And then we validate those feelings. We have a right to feel that way. So let's just say you're angry because your boyfriend broke up with you. Then you're going to say, you know what? I am angry that my boyfriend dumped me like this, and I'm valid in feeling that way. However, this feeling does not serve me. So I send it into the light to be healed and resolved as I am healed from it and restore my divine peace and serenity. So you get rid of the emotional part of it first and get your serenity back. Now, as far as removing the rest of the toxic debris, there's several ways that you can do this. One way is to use the element that's assigned to you at your birth. So, for example, if you're a Pisces and you're a water sign, you can imagine that water is flowing up from the earth, up over your body, up over your head, taking all that adverse energy out, and then flowing back into the earth, taking it with it, and letting the earth heal and recycle it and use it, the at energy, for how she pleases. Another way to do that is to use color therapies. Consider the color that represents purity or peace or whatever it is that you're looking for, the counter of what it is that you're feeling, and literally surround yourself in that color. So if you're suffering from anxiety and the color turquoise represents peace to you, you're going to imagine that that turquoise is surrounding you and swirling around you and removing all of that debris from you. And also just putting the colors back into your chakras will help to push out any adverse debris. So especially because the chakras represent different parts of the body, the auric body. So for example, the groin chakra represents the emotional body. So if you've got your emotions are out of whack, by pressing that orange color into the groin chakra, it can help to balance that out. The solar plexus is the mental body. If you're under mental stress, putting that color yellow in or surrounding yourself with that yellow can help to balance you out mentally. So there's different techniques that you can use to help to get rid of that debris, all custom to you. If you like to use the elements, go ahead and do that. If color therapies work better for you, then surround yourself in that color. But the easiest way for everybody is to know the colors of the chakras and put those colors in. If you're exhausted all the time, then put the red light into your root chakra, which is your life force energy, or wear red underwear to keep that red in there at the base of your spine to help you to keep that energy flowing. Just doing just simple techniques is before you even get out of bed in the morning and shoring up your chakras with the colors. At least you'll be up and you'll be running on all cylinders instead of kind of already starting the day limping through it because you've got so much debris stored up in the chakras or you've depleted that energy.
I love color. So that is really kind of a fun way to handle this. One of the questions that I get, actually I get this from, because I have a site called Empath Society, and everybody has a problem with filtering out the energies of those around them and things around them and situations and things like that. What is the best way for those of us who are sensitive to be able to go out in the world, among people and places and things, and not absorb everything like a sponge?
Okay, that is a question that I get a lot. It's also something that I have to utilize all the time myself, so I'm happy to share this with you. One of the things as empaths is we need to have a constant flow of energy, but if we do like surround ourselves with a bubble, we can actually cut that energy off and feel more tired. So what I teach is filtered shielding. Now, you can use all kinds of filters depending on what works best for you. You can use a screen door. You can use a fence, a barbed wire fence, a chain link fence, a picket fence, a wrought iron fence, a fishnet, lace, anything that's going to block that you can, in your mind with the intention, it's going to block adverse energies but allow beneficial nurturing energies in. Then you decide what is going to be your filter and you add things to it. Now, some people work very well. I've had a lot of good feedback with a fishnet made of golden light, where people will surround themselves with a fishnet made of golden light with the intention it blocks the energies out. Some people like to use their elements. So if you're a fire sign, you might want to see a fence or the fishnet made of fire and surrounding you with that. You have to kind of play around with it and feel which one makes you feel the safest and contained. Now, the go-to one for if you just can't think of anything is figure out where is your safe space. Where do you feel the safest? It could be your car, your bedroom, your recliner in your living room. Wherever that space is, put yourself mentally in that space before you go out. That's your safe space where they can't get you. So if you're going to the grocery store, you're actually in your safe space as you're going through the grocery store. If people are chattering at you and or yelling or screaming or trying to drain your energy, you're actually in your safe space listening to them from the recliner in your living room where they cannot get you. So just by learning which is going to be the best shielding, filtered shielding that works for you, and you can think, okay, think in terms of fences, think in terms of a fishnet or netting or lace, think in terms of doors, a screen door, French doors, whatever it is that makes you feel safer and contained, and then you can add light to it. It can be a fishnet made of blue light. It can be a screen door made of red protective light, and you just kind of practice that. Now, doing filtered shielding, energy work. And so you want to kind of practice at it because if you're just starting doing energy work, it can be tiring. So while you're sitting there in front of television at night, you can do shields up, shields down, like Star Trek, shields up, shields down, shields up, shields down, until you can sustain it. In fact, the best way to practice it is through using your television, because the television puts out all kinds of emotions, even though those are actors and actresses pretending, they have to actually feel those emotions in order to get you, the viewer, to believe it. So those are real emotions coming through that screen affecting you. So you can practice looking at your television, what filtered shielding works best to keep those energies from getting from the television to you or your computer screen to you or your phone to you. And you'll see which ones actually make you feel safer and contained. And that's the best way to shield yourself up.
That's great advice. And I've actually never heard it put that way. But, yeah, because, you know, what I always wondered is, okay, so I shield myself before I walk out the door, but then what happens? How strong is that shield? Do I have to reinforce it? But the way that you've explained it teaches us to shield ourselves in a way, like you say, that will withstand everything that's going to come at us in the course of a day. So I really like that. That's excellent, excellent advice. We actually have another caller. We just have a couple minutes we can do this. So let's, okay. This is area code 862. Good morning. And what is your name?
Hi, ladies. My name is Jacqueline.
Hi, Jacqueline.
I regret that I didn't catch this show from the beginning. I definitely want to go back and listen to the archives because I am trying to retrain my brain. I am trying to get my energy in order where I could, you know, not pick up on so much of other people's energies and their, you know, the negative vibes. I'm looking forward to finding my true inner self. And I just want to see if you have anything to add to that when you're on this personal quest.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that I pick up from your energy is you actually feel kind of heavy and kind of tired. And I know how hard it is, the struggle it is to try and retrain things and get things done. And it can actually be exhausting just trying to change your life. But I'm going to give you a trick that's going to help you to raise your vibration up and help to retrain the subconscious. We have to keep in mind that the subconscious doesn't know the difference between right and wrong and only knows what's normal and will try to perpetuate normalcy. And so if it's normal for you to be tired or broke or whatever it is you're going through in your life, your subconscious is going to put up a fight. It's like if you've ever smoked cigarettes, first time you smoked a cigarette, it was awful. Your head hurt, everything hurt, and your subconscious was like, let's not do this. You didn't listen, and eventually the subconscious accepted smoking as normal, and then you try to quit, and the subconscious is like, no, we're not quitting because it's normal. Well, this is the same thing when you're trying to change your life. So what you have to do is talk to the subconscious in the language it understands, which is emotion. So whatever it is that you're trying to do, let's just say you're trying to bring peace into your life. I need you to go back into your memory banks to a time when you felt peaceful. It could be when you were 2 years old and laying in your crib or whatever. I don't care how old you are. A time when you truly felt peaceful. And bring that memory up along with the feelings of peace with it. And try to sustain that for as long as you can. Because what you're doing is you're saying, hey, subconscious, this is the way we want to feel. Remember when we used to feel this way? And the subconscious will start to accept it as normal. So if you're trying to bring joy into your life or feel more joyous, go back to a memory when you felt joyous. Maybe it was your fifth birthday party and you got all these presents. Doesn't matter when it was. But you need to engage in that memory and engage in that emotion and try to sustain it. Now, it might be the first time you try, it might only be you can sustain it for 30 seconds, but the more you try and the more diligent you are, because diligence is the key, the more you're able to sustain it, and you start teaching the subconscious in its language what it is that you're trying to feel. So if you need to feel strong and vital, go back to a time when you felt that way and engage in that memory, and that memory is cause all of the chemical changes, you're going to start to feel better, and the longer you can sustain it on a daily basis, maybe you want to do it 20 minutes a day just to start to retrain the subconscious, you can actually start to change your life and retrain your brain that way.
Okay.
Makes good
sense.
Sounds
great.
Yeah, it does. You know, I'm thinking about that right now. And Rhonda, you have such interesting ways to go about these things. And they're ways I've never really heard of before. But they're so practical. And they're things that we can all do. Thank you. How did you come to all these things? Was this just intuition that you learned it, or did you learn this from other people?
This is through divine guidance. After going through a nightmarish time, I told you when the mortgage industry died, I literally lost everything. And so I started my psychic healing business, and I came across so many empaths and realized I was one myself that I literally asked for divine guidance to help myself and to help other people. And this is what has been filtered down to me.
Rhonda, can I say something?
Yes, go right ahead. Jacqueline.
So that was a very challenging experience for you. How long did it take for you to get from point A to point Z with your process? I mean, I know that there can't always be a set time frame, but how do you know when you've reached that point? Because I think I've done all the work, but I know I have more to learn. But because I'm dealing with other people who are not here yet, and I'm very empathic, I pick up on a lot of energies that are very toxic. So I constantly have to ground. I constantly have to, you know, take special baths. I constantly have to, like, you know, try to use my right brain just to, like, release a lot of tension. And I find that I'm constantly trying to find the next thing to move forward. How do you know when everything is okay? Because being an empath is very difficult.
Okay.
Like
I have to go
into very challenging situations, and I dread going because I know what it's going to make me feel like, but I still have to go. So how do you prepare in advance?
The way I prepare in advance is I get my energy cleaned up so that I'm walking into that situation strong. And also by just remembering everything that I've been through, it's just like whatever you throw at me now is a piece of cake. It's just go ahead, do your worst. You know that song by Pharrell, I'm Happy? You know, I'm
yes.
so happy. That's one of my favorite songs because he says, hey, bad news, go ahead, give me your worst, but it's not going to make a difference because I know I'm okay. Whatever it is, I'm going to be fine. There's no mistakes. There's only lessons. So I walk through it proudly and with confidence, and I don't worry about it. And that's what you do. You walk in there saying, you know what? I've been through a heck of a lot worse than this. This is a piece of cake. Put your shielding up, clean up your energy, and roll forward with confidence. And you're going to be just fine. And don't let other people's issues become your issues. You have to remember, everyone is here to learn, and some people choose to be in the abyss because the abyss has something to teach them. So you recognize that and say, you know what, this person, I'm not going to take it personally. They're just learning right now, and I have to move forward on my own path. We wish them well, and we do not let their energies engage with ours.
Okay.
Okay.
You can do this.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you for calling in. I'm probably going to have Rhonda come back again because the show is just going so fast and we all have so much to ask her. So I'm going to put you back on hold, but thank you for calling in. You can keep listening till the end, okay?
You had.
Okay. So that's all really, really great information, things that we can all use. And I like that, you know, getting in touch with the empowerment of what we've come through is so, empowering, let's just say that, fortifying. I guess that's really the word. It fortifies us, right?
Yes, I love that word, fortifying, absolutely.
So you have here on the list one of the things that one of the key points to discuss, and one of those things is how to remove the energy cords attaching you to negative people and circumstances. So what are these cords and how do we get rid of them?
Okay, so especially for us empaths out there, you know, people come and they tell us all of their problems, but you don't have to be an empath to have adverse cords attached to you. So let's just say that I call you up and I say, Randy, my boyfriend broke my heart. Well, what I'm doing is I am shooting a cord into your heart chakra, because I need your wonderful energy, and I'm taking your fabulous energy and I'm replacing it with mine so that I walk away feeling, gee, I feel so great. Thanks for talking to me. And you're like, oh, my God, thank God she's gone. I'm so tired. And so what we do is we literally have to pull those cords out by the root. Cords are like weeds, and so we want to pull them out by the root. So what I do is I do this over all of my chakras because depending on what people want, it goes to the different chakras. So you take your hands over your chakra, and if you're unhooking fish hooks, you pull those hooks out and you open your hands up and say, I unhook and release all of the adverse cords, karma, and burdens of others and myself and all things adverse to me, sending them into the light to be healed and resolved as I am healed from them. And then you put your hands back over your chakra and say, and restore my own divine peace, strength, good health, free will, and the optimum flow of divine balanced energies on all levels. These wounds are healed. And then you push in the light of the chakra. If it's the heart, then you're going to do green. If it's the solar plexus, yellow, the throat blue, the groin orange, the root red, your third eye indigo, that blue-purple color, and the crown can be white, gold, silver, or lavender. And you want to always say that wound is healed, because the same way, like if you pull a splinter out, you got that hole that's bleeding, you don't just want to pull the cord out and then hemorrhage energy. You want to heal it up. And so by removing these cords, you get to be in your own energy, because you could have helped somebody 10 years ago and they're still living off your energy. So it's important to do a couple times a week to decord yourself so that you've got your own energy and your energetic health and well-being is secured.
I really like that. Yeah, I was going to ask you, do we do this daily? But we can do it just a few times a week, and that will cleanse our chakras. Okay.
Absolutely. If you're in the service industry, though, a massage therapist or a therapist or dealing with people all the time, you might want to do it more often.
Okay. Now, we just have about a minute before we have to start the closing, but I own massage I don't know if you knew this, but I own two Massage Envy clinics. And I have one of my clinics has amazing, positive, loving energy. The other one is so negative and down and selfish, and you know, and one of my managers keeps saying, you know, you need to sage it. Well, I can't sage it because there's no windows. There's nowhere for that energy to go. So really quick, in about like 30 seconds, I don't know if you can do it. Can you tell me how to clear that place?
Yes, actually I can. Are you able to burn candles?
Yes.
Okay. So what you want to do is you want to get yourself a black jar candle, which you can get at any metaphysical store. It will suck the negativity right out of the room. And you're going to pair it with a red candle to energize it with the good energy. You got to tell them what to do. You're going to tell the black candle, remove all adverse energies from this place. It'll suck it right out. And then
okay.
The red candle, restore the good energy, the feelings of peace, of prosperity, of vital good health, and send that out. Pair them together, let them burn. It'll clean it right up for you.
Okay. Now, do I go room by room with this? And how long do they have to burn?
If you put it right in the center, like if you put it like near your lobby, your reception area, that'll
okay.
be just fine. Just getting
okay.
the 7-day candles, they work really well. But also because you're a very strong metaphysician yourself, if you go into your place, go into one of the massage rooms. And what I want you to do is I want you to raise your hands up and say, bringing your hands, palms up, say, I send all adverse energies in this room into the light to be healed and resolved as we are healed from it. And then bring your hands, palms down. And I now bring down the divine white light from the sacred source of all well-being and fill this space with purity, peace, and protection and power for the people coming in for help. And then walk outside and you're going to feel a difference. You're going to feel that room that you worked in is light and airy and the rest of the place feels very heavy. You can
awesome.
Do that in all the rooms yourself
okay.
and get
okay.
that energy and light.
Well, we are running out of time, but I know that you just published a book titled You Are Not Broken, How to Retrain Your Brain, Clean Up Your Energy, and Use Emotional Shapeshifting to Raise Your Vibration and Manifest Your Desires with Special Attention to Empaths and Other Highly Sensitive People. That's a long title. How can my listeners get that book?
Just go right on to Amazon and put that in there. If you even just put my name, it'll show up, Rhonda Harris Chowdhury. Or just put in You Are Not Broken, and you'll see the blue book with the white cover, because I think there's two books with that name, and you'll see
okay.
my name on it. I'd love
okay,
for you to
awesome.
Check it out.
Awesome. And very, very quickly, because we only have like 30 seconds before we're going to be shut down, do you have a website or an email for people to contact you?
Yes, you can contact me at azjua7@gmail.com, or my website is www.healinghenna, that's H-E-N-N-A, goddess.com.
Okay, perfect. I am going to ask you back, so I'll be back in touch with you. And to my listeners, just check out my website or my show page here, and you will there will be a link to the next show that we do. Thank you, Rhonda. It has been absolutely wonderful. I cannot wait to have you back.
Oh, my pleasure. I can't wait to come back. Thank you.
You're welcome. And to my listeners, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.